Welcome to Blah Blah Sports. Oh, we had a little bit of a break there, but we're back and we're going to do a Super Bowl review with myself, Benny, alongside Sean. Sean, how have you been, bud?
Doing good. Doing good. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Glad the NFL season's over a little bit as an Eagles fan, I'm sure. You are.
Selfish man.
I am. I am very selfish man. If you are.
I'm an Eagles fan. It's all about me.
We need a Super Bowl, Sean. And this season wasn't going to get it done.
Earn one.
I'm inclined to agree with you there. We definitely need to step our game up. But anyway, speaking of big games, well, I should say speaking of earning something, Sean, I finally can say this. I congratulate you as the playoff pick'em winner.
Yep, I get to keep my championship belt around my waist, even though it doesn't fit because it's a child size.
The ending to this entire buildup is more mushier than the SummerSlam ending. You win, despite the fact that all three of us picked the wrong winner.
Well, let's be honest. I was guaranteed to win regardless.
Yeah, you were guaranteed
to
win.
Because I was a smart one and decided to play the game correctly.
Yeah. My loss was in the championship series. I was out by the championship series. My pick technically had the closest score, but since I lost anyway, it didn't matter.
Didn't matter.
So Vincent had a chance to beat you, but
it had to be a high-scoring game.
He picked 62 for no reason. He picked like the score of 62.
That mediocre Denver defense.
Yeah, and then I remember the rationale of his score was Denver was just going to kick a bunch of field goals, and I'm like, then okay, and you're basically saying that Carolina's defense is going
to
bend.
Be careful, he's going to listen to this.
Oh, he is, and I hope he does. Yeah, he picked 62. You picked 56. So by default, you knew you were going to win before actually watching the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I said that when I did it.
I do want to say that going back and listening to the last podcast, you called a score. You just said it. You said 20-10, Denver. You said that very briefly on the last podcast. I want to say you were 4 points off of that pick. 4 points off of that pick. There's no stock to be put into it, but you still said it. I'm going to applaud you, Sean.
You talking about final score?
No, you were just saying, so in the event that Denver puts up 20 and Carolina puts up 10 and I get 30, I win. You just said it as an example.
Oh, I see.
But again, Denver wins 24-10. For those of you,
that was not my score.
That was not your score, but for those of you that were living underneath the freaking 5 feet of snow we've gotten, Denver did win the Super Bowl 24-10, and Sean, through an example called 20-10, which I was very impressed with. Anyway, let's talk about the game in and of itself. Did you like it, Sean?
I can't say it was a fun game to watch. I mean, usually defensive games can be a little sluggish. It depends on how the defense is being dominant, if you want to say. Mm-hmm. This one was a little rough just because neither offense wanted to do anything. Like, at least give them a couple big plays. But there was really, I mean, the only big play that was during the game was the non-play with the catch that quote unquote hit the ground.
Yeah, there was that. There were a couple of bigger catches. There, of course, was the big punt return. I felt like the game was paced out enough. If you're going to script a game, I'm putting air quotes around that. It was paced out enough to where you had lulling moments where the defenses were making big stands. Of course, Denver's offense, for the most point, would have like relatively significant drives.
But they were 1-for-14 on third down. Like, that's awful. That's horrible.
It was not a fun game to watch if you're a casual football fan.
And Carolina wasn't much better. They were only like 3-for-14 on fourth down, so they didn't perform third down, that is.
There's a reason the MVP is a linebacker in this game.
Yeah, after the game was over, people were asking me, who's the MVP of this game? I'm like, it's got to be Von Miller. Like, there's no one else. The only argument that you could put up was maybe DeMarcus Ware, but Von Miller had the two strips.
Yep.
He had, 2.5 sacks?
Yep.
Who else were you going to give it to?
You're right. If you gave it to an offensive player, you would have been teasing yourself. There's no offensive player.
CJ Anderson, the guy who got most of his yards in the second half after.
It would have been a stupid pick to give it to CJ Anderson. Again, but the only other person I can think is the defensive end. I forget his name that picked up the fumble in the end zone.
Well, I think the Marcus Ware fell on it. But then I think maybe Trevathan was back there. I don't remember. But But it doesn't matter because it was the fumble was caused by Von Miller. So without him, you wouldn't have gotten the fumble in the first place.
Yeah.
Either one. Yeah.
Yeah. Again, the game was it was one of those games that it was refreshing.
I don't know. Refreshing. It was it dragged a lot.
It dragged a lot. But if you're a fan of defense, it was a refreshing game to watch. It definitely, you know, this was a defensive dominant game. Even though Denver put up 24, this was a game.
Carolina's defense did not play that poorly.
They didn't play that poorly. Again, Carolina's defense did not lose that game.
You know, as much as I like to rag on Demaryius Thomas because I think he's incredibly overrated, mm-hmm. Josh Norman did very well against Demaryius Thomas.
Josh Norman, there was a shot of Josh Norman crying on the sidelines. He had nothing to cry about. He played a very good game.
Yeah, and I thought Kuechly would be I thought he would actually not do well against Owen Daniels. And other than that one play during the first drive with Denver, he played pretty well against coverage. I've never been a fan of Kuechly in coverage because he mauls people when they go back there, and that's a penalty. You're not allowed to do that. But, you know, his man coverage isn't that great. So I'm a little critical on him. But you know, for the most part, they played well.
Yeah, there was also a first on Carolina's defense. Their defensive end, Coney Early, became the first player in Super Bowl history to have an interception and three sacks. So, again, Carolina's defense played very well. The problem was they were on there a lot. It was almost like we had Chip Kelly syndrome, where Carolina's offenses had very brief three-and-out spurts, and then their defense was back on the field. And then, of course, you had You could say that about both teams, but Denver's offense had, I believe they dominated in terms of time of possession. Don't hold me to that, but I think they did.
Like, between the two teams, what were there, like 32 possessions in the game? Like, that's kind of high. And considering the score was 24 to 10, mm-hmm. that's, you know, a defensive game, you know.
Oh, yeah. To me, it was one of those games where for a while I was sitting on the edge. Because, again, there was like a point where it was 10 to 7. And then
it was close for 58 minutes.
Yeah, it was 10 to 7, it was 16 to 10. Again, it was a very close game. I thought for a second, hey, maybe Carolina can hang around there, but you know, Denver went right down there, got the touchdown, got the 2-point conversion, and it was ball game. And then of course, you know,
well, no, that was they didn't go down. It was the strip fumble.
Oh yeah, the strip.
Yeah. That's how they got down. Denver, other than that first drive, they didn't make it down the field at all the rest of the game.
Yeah.
All their touchdowns came from either the defensive touchdown
or setting up a touchdown.
Or them setting up a touchdown.
C.J. Anderson punched it in, I believe. And then, of course, Manning got the 2-point conversion.
And he only punched it in because of the holding call in the back of the end zone on third down. Otherwise, they would have kicked a field goal.
Yep.
And Carolina still could have been in the game, you know, it would have been a 2-possession, but still would have been, you know.
You figure down 9, you know, there's a potential because we were sitting. I'm sure you were thinking along the lines of that. Like, you're thinking at some point Cam has to get this going, but he just never did.
I'm not saying that I was thinking that, but I'm sure a lot of people were thinking that.
Yeah.
And so I guess that brings us to the fumble.
Yeah.
Not diving for it.
I looked at that and I've watched it in slow motion and I've watched it in real time. I have an issue with it, and I don't have an issue with it. My brain here is thinking on two different tracks. In terms of the Super Bowl, you dive for that ball, and whatever happens, happens. You are playing to win the game.
And that's my stance on it.
Yes. However, I can see from Cam Newton's standpoint and Cam Newton's agent's standpoint, why are you diving for that football? We've lost this game.
But the game was still in hand, though. They were only down by 6 points.
It was still in hand.
With a touchdown, they would have taken the lead.
But I can tell you, and if I take flack for this, I'll take flack for this. Cam chose his paycheck over that. I think I was listening to a local radio station. The guy said the exact same thing. He goes, he looks at that and he goes, Cam didn't want to die for that. Cam didn't want to die.
Now, no,
ESPN was trying to play it off like, oh, he still ended up on his knees. Now, you know what?
If you look at it.
He stutter-stepped. He hesitated, which means the thought went through his mind.
I'm going to get hurt.
I'm going to get hurt. And when you think about that, when you play with fear, you are choosing yourself. You are choosing your career over a moment that could have defined your team, that could have helped your team win the game.
Yeah,
and you saw what happened.
And I can understand a scenario like during the regular season. I know Andy Dalton kind of had a similar situation, but you know, he's just brittle. You know, Cam's 250. I think he could have went down there. But you have like a situation like Drew Brees had 10 years ago when he was with San Diego. He tries to go for the fumble, and his shoulder gets all screwed up, almost ruined his career.
Yep.
I could see a scenario like that during the regular season, but when you have a Lombardi trophy waiting for you, you got to go for that ball.
Yes. And rightfully so, he is taking flack for it.
Not just that, though.
What happened afterwards. Again, tracking Cam going back, some of the things that Cam said. We'll get to the press conference in a second.
Let's continue with the game.
We'll wrap up with the fumble, and not diving for the fumble. I do want to say, again, watching that in real time, I immediately said he chose his paycheck.
I couldn't see it in real time. I had to see it slowed down to even notice the stutter step.
I don't always like watching things in slow motion because when you see things in slow motion, it's skewed as to what it is in real life.
That's
like,
for true, instance, but I know what a stutter step looks like.
I think we all know what a stutter step looks like.
I think you just couldn't see it from the hard camera because there were so many guys around there.
Yeah, but when you watch it real time from that like sideline camera that they showed on the slow-mo, when you watch the slow-mo in real time, you can tell there was a stutter there. You saw the thought. I want to go to another play. There was a play where Cam threw a ball, got hit. I think it was incomplete. It was a small play. But I remember the camera shots cut to him, and he was like looking. He was rubbing.
Because it was right after they went up 24-10, and it was third down. It was third and long, because you know they got sacked, so you know it's a long play now. And he scrambles out of the pocket, and he's in the end zone, and he throws it away, and the guy hits him a little hard. I'm not. It wasn't a dirty hit, but no. You know, he hit him a little hard, and he went down to the ground, and. He was upset because he thought that should have been a flag, which one, it's not because you're out of the pocket. Nope. So you're a runner at that point. Even if you throw it, you're still a runner. And two, in the Super Bowl, especially when you're down by that much,
they're not going to call that. Yeah, you have to earn those calls. I want to say though, I was thinking a little bit during that game, I think he had a minor shoulder injury during the game. I'm not giving him any excuses.
Who, Cam?
But I think Cam might have had a minor shoulder injury.
What makes you think
that? The rubbing of the shoulder. I remember there was one he got up and he wasn't moving one of his arms as he normally does. Like he just kind of like you know shakes.
I
his
mean,
arm
he had one. There was one hit where his pads came out, but other than that, I didn't notice anything wrong with him.
I thought I did. Again, we can go back later and look at it, but I thought he did. Anyway, okay, so we covered all the big moments. What did you think of CBS's coverage of it? Again, CBS. Building up to that point,
I thought the graphics looked better.
The graphics were a lot better. The straight through quality of it wasn't awful. Again, Jim Nance isn't. One day I will go through all of my top commentary teams. Jim Nance isn't
incredibly overrated.
Yeah, I think my uncle said it best. He's a better golfer, golf guy than football guy. And I'm inclined to agree with him. His voice isn't like very football iconic, very isn't football friendly. It's not high action. It's more of like breaking down things, and he's very quiet and he's very calm.
I felt like CBS was more interested in previewing the halftime show 10 minutes into the game than they were getting something on the field.
Yes, you're right. But I also want to talk about the buildup before that. They had the Bengals-Pittsburgh game where they lost audio halfway through. They had one of the championship games where there was a mess up. They like before this, they had given me no confidence they could cover the Super Bowl. They really were looking like a production team that was having a lot of issues. So I was thinking something's going to happen during the Super Bowl, and people are going to go, "Oh, CBS is terrible." But CBS, you know, got it together.
Remember the last Super Bowl that they covered? The lights went out.
yes. What was it? Ravens in San Francisco. Yes, the lights went out at the stadium. Yes. Again, like just they
not their fault, but still,
it's not their fault. But it's almost like almost every like the memories of CBS so far in the Super Bowl have been like something bad's gonna happen, or CBS in the playoffs this year something bad's gonna happen. Again, that was the Bengals Cincinnati Bengals game and Pittsburgh Steelers game that had a lot of entertainment value with all the roughness going on and all the extracurricular activity. Again. Shocked Marv Lewis is still a head coach. Shocked he is still a head coach right now. But what do you think of CBS's production quality? You know, I think...
Like I said, the graphics were better. Other than that, it's the same as I've seen before.
Yeah. Between the three big networks, NBC, we're Fox. Do you think Fox is better than
CBS?
Yeah.
not by much. Not by much. Fox has a lot of things that annoy me, like the overhead camera on the wire. Yep. That annoys me because they never get the shot right when they do that. But
yeah, they're always off. They're always off like a foot. So they need to work on that. But again, CBS, you got it together in just in time. So I will give you a round of applause. Now, do you want to talk halftime show at all? Because that was a very bizarre, very political halftime show.
That's funny that you say political, because like when Beyonce came out, it didn't register to me at all.
It didn't until
until later on when people were saying Black Panther. I didn't even think of it that way.
Yeah. When I saw Bruno Mars come out, and he was wearing the black jumpsuit, I was like, why is he wearing that?
I was thinking MC Hammer.
MC Hammer. Someone else said Straight Out of Compton.
Oh, is that what it's supposed to be?
I don't know. Again, I didn't get all of the like subtleties of it. People were even looking at like the moment where Chris Martin was walking behind them, trying to fit in. Yeah, people were like, "Oh, look, they are putting two African men." That's stupid to me. Like, there was nothing fully about that screamed like anything racial. The lyrics to Beyonce's song, if you look at them, that was a club song.
What
was
lyrics?
A club
I couldn't
song.
Hear anything. I couldn't hear anyone singing.
The song's called Formation. The lyrics are a little bit racy, the mics were really quiet. I noticed that the mics were really quiet for that. The lyrics to the song Formation, they are racy, but overall the song is like it's a party song. Like, so it's not like well, I shouldn't say party song, but it's just a generic pop song. That's what Beyonce does. It's just generic pop songs. So I didn't have as much of an issue with it. I did have an issue with Chris Martin walking like he had a back issue. Like,
maybe he does. I don't know.
I had more
of a problem with him when he gets on stage and he's trying to get people hyped up for when they're singing Viva La Vida, which is not really a rock song.
No.
And he's just like running around the stage trying to get people hyped. And it's just awful.
Like, I looked over at my uncle and he's asleep. And I'm like, okay, yeah, this is
then
pretty.
Didn't they pull out Yellow too? At one point, I was like, "Well, we're really getting everyone into it here. We're gonna play Yellow."
Yeah, they played a lot of wild songs, and of course, their grand finale finish was bad. Again, I know Jobo doesn't like him. The only good part about this was Bruno Mars, and that, you know, Bruno Mars was even kind of meh this time.
I enjoyed Beyonce too. I mean, I'm not a Beyonce fan of her music, but I honestly, anyone that can get the crowd up and can get people excited for a halftime show, I don't care if I don't care for their music, I'm all for it. You know, have something exciting happen. You know, I'm not a big Katy Perry fan, but last year I thought she did a good job.
She did a good job. Well, again, like they struck while the iron was kind of hot with Katy Perry. You know, I believe it was
if she's going to come out riding a giant dinosaur. Yeah. I'm all for that. Regardless of what she's singing.
I think that was my issue with the halftime show is it was kind of bland.
I think it was supposed to be a callback to the original halftime shows.
Yes.
And there's a reason why they stopped doing that.
Because it's not exciting.
It's not exciting, no.
It's not fun to look at. Did you notice the overuse of like the arrow format? Like there was arrows.
Yeah, they
like,
did that on purpose. I think it was something Illuminati. I'm not sure. But there was a reason for it.
It was a lot of arrows. It caught me off guard. I didn't mind it. It was kind of bland, but yeah, I think like Katy Perry, they struck while the iron was hot. I think there was like an album release there. But you're right, there was something big about that. Bruno Mars, his one act, I think two Super Bowls ago. Two.
I enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it. It was
again
fun.
Not a fan of his music, but hey, it's exciting.
It was exciting. This year, they kind of mellowed him out a little bit. Plus, I think we're kind of starting to get over the Bruno Mars thing.
Also, keep in mind, they could only do so much because it was outside and it was during the daytime.
Yep.
Same issue that WrestleMania ran into last year. Where
with lighting.
You can't really light anything because it's during the day.
Yes, and so also I remember Undertaker came out and it was like the sun was still up.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, same issue, and you're kind of limited to what you can do as far as production goes when you can't put lights out.
Yeah.
But you know, overall, I thought it was just a meh halftime show.
on the short scale here.
Honestly,
1 to 5.
I think it would have been better if they just didn't ask Coldplay to come.
Yeah,
they could have just said stay home. We got Beyonce and Bruno Mars. We're good.
Yeah, they built up Coldplay in this, and again, but Coldplay is not again like
they're not an arena rock act.
They're not an arena rock act.
They're not gonna get people out on their feet for Coldplay.
Like they,
when I hear Coldplay, I want to eat a carton of ice cream. I feel sorry for myself.
their content, their songs, their sound is very quiet and mellows you out. It's very. It's almost kind of like upbeat jazzy. Like it's not anything I get up and I dance to. It's like I can sit on my like lawn chair in my backyard, like outside a pool, and listen to this. And I don't feel like getting up and doing a dance.
Can I bang my head to it? No. Too bad.
Can I move my body to it? No, you can't. I'll say on the short scale for this, 1 out of 5, I'm giving it a 2. I thought again, it wasn't great. Like it wasn't a great one. It's not like there was nothing of memory to this aside from Chris Martin walking like he's the Hunchback of Notre Dame. That's about it. But
don't make fun of a man for his medical condition.
Someone has to make a meme of that and make him like he looked like Quasimodo. Like it was weird.
The
dude
man
walks.
Probably has a hunch.
No, he doesn't. He was standing straight up on the stage.
You don't know.
You're right. I think there was a. I think Chris Martin has a hunch.
I mean, I have problems standing up straight too because of my bad posture. Maybe he has bad posture.
He doesn't have bad posture, Sean.
You don't know. Maybe he does. How do you know?
You don't know until you know. Anyway, halftime show in your opinion on the short scale 1 to 5.
I would go 2 as well.
You go 2 as well. Yeah. Okay. Well, wrap up that. Get into the second half of the game. The ending. Again, I still think the best way to have ended this season would have been to for the Patriots to have won. But again, I don't care. Peyton Manning's on his way out. The post-game ceremony was really cool. I like what Peyton Manning said when he sounded like that old like sheriff from the town. I'm done doing what I'm doing. I'm just gonna go back. You know, pound a bottle of whiskey and have the rest of the day. Put back some beers. It was very like touching. I guess you could say touching send off. I liked the kind of like the final moment of him being on the stage. And of course, they give it to Von Miller. Had a great game. Any final words on the game itself?
Well, before I give my final words on the game, I just tested to see if your phone was on the counter, and it clearly was.
I have it on. Yeah, I had it on my mouse.
I could hear it. Way to be professional, Benny.
You know what, Sean? Way to send a text during a podcast.
What was the question?
any final words on the game or the final run through of it?
No, the game was. I don't think it's going to be a memorable Super Bowl game in itself. No. It's just going to be memorable for Denver's defense. Which, by the way, if I was ranking defenses all time, I would go 85 Bears, 2000 Ravens, 2015 Denver Broncos.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree with you. When you think back at it, of defensive dominated games, going back in a recent memory, games that ended. Here's a funny stat for you: games that ended in 2 touchdowns. So we know Seattle crushed.
Well, I'm also talking just defenses all time, not just in the big game.
Yeah, I think in terms of the game itself, the Bears Patriots game 85. That one's always going to stick out to me as the game where I saw defense truly dominate. The second one to me is, of course, the 2000 Ravens Patriots. This one I've definitely plats third. Again, you have it right.
And look at who Denver beat during this postseason: Big Ben, Hall of Famer; Tom Brady, Hall of Famer.
Hall of Famer. But yeah.
Keep them both. Actually, keep them all three quarterbacks to 16 points or less.
Yep.
And obviously Cam Newton, who their team, their on offense, has scored 40 points in both postseason games.
I don't want to compare them to the 2000 Ravens because I think the Ravens defense had more playmakers that year. But this defense definitely was, in terms of being able to stop the run and frustrate you in terms of a pass rush, I think they were a better coverage team. And I think they were a better pass rushing team than the 2001 Ravens. I think the Ravens, though, had more pass. I mean, you look at that Ravens defense. You're talking about like Ed Reed, Ray Lewis.
Ed Reed wasn't there yet.
Ed Reed wasn't there yet. Okay, you're talking about Ray Lewis, some really solid defensive backs there as well. You put Ray Lewis on any defense, it's going to be dominant. And of course, that defense, you know, had a lot of playmakers flying around. Ray Lewis went hog wild that game. I think the better comparison to this would be the Bears team, just because the Bears team again had that frustrating defense to where you couldn't run on them, and because you couldn't run on them, they would just set the pass rushers loose on them. Again, I think the Ravens defense was they were more of a forced turnovers defense.
Well, they had to. They couldn't. Yeah. None of those offenses of those none three of those, teams could score points.
None of those offenses could score points. I think the Ravens offense is the worst one out of the bunch, because I think the Bears offense, you had Walter Payton. So, you know, he's probably one of the greatest running backs ever to play the game of football. You look at the Denver Broncos offense, you have Peyton Manning, who's going to go down as one of the best quarterbacks. Again, not the best season. You do have some playmakers though on that offense. You do have Sanders, and when you get the ball in his hands, when, you know, it doesn't drop it, Demaryius Thomas is he can be an effective wide receiver. Owen Daniels isn't a bad tight end, and the running back got by committee. There's no memorable running back there, but there's still C.J. Anderson's a decent running back, and you know when he's not injured, Monte Ball's not awful either. But
he's not on the team.
He got cut. I'm an idiot. Anyway,
he got cut and went to New England, and then got cut again.
Cut that part out. C.J. Anderson is okay.
Ronnie Hillman, that's her second string.
Ronnie Hillman, that's what I was thinking of. Ronnie Hillman is an effective running back. So yeah, you have some playmaker, but when you think about that Baltimore Ravens offense, those receivers are not good. Maybe I don't believe that. Did they have? I don't think they had Todd Heap at that time.
No, he wasn't there yet.
Okay, so he wasn't there yet. They had Jamal Lewis, but when you think of, he's not a Hall of Fame running back.
He had some dominant seasons.
He has some dominant years, but again, they might have had. I don't know if Priest Holmes is on that team, but
I don't think so.
I think he played with Baltimore before. I don't know.
I don't think it was that year. But you
look at their quarterback was Trent Dilfer. Like their offense was not very good at all. Looking at the run, yeah. Oh, they did have Priest Holmes that year. They did have Priest Holmes that year. But again, you look at their wide receivers, no one of interesting. They had Shannon Sharp at tight end. Their offense had like only two, maybe if you count a young Priest Holmes, three playmakers, and then they had like a wide receiver of merit, Brandon Stokely, and that's it. So, you know, this was an offense that was, you know, pound the ball. All they could do was run. They couldn't throw the ball, and their running game was probably so. So we look at this, you know, at least Denver could move the ball in a slight facet. There were games where they played around Peyton. They could do some things, but I think the worst offense in that bunch is definitely Baltimore. Denver's in the middle. I think you know the Bears had a very good offense with one of the best running backs of all time.
I would say very good, but they were able to manage points at least.
Yeah, they were able to manage a little bit better than this one. But anyway, going out of this game, Cam Newton's actions, you called it a little bit before. You said
not on air.
not on air. But
it was a little too controversial for us to hit when we did our preview show.
Yes.
I didn't want to get any backlash from what we were going to say. Not that we were being racial or anything. We were just, you know.
It's not. And I was talking about this with a guy at work. It's not so much as like we don't like Cam. It's that the way Cam acts sometime when he loses is concerning.
He doesn't. What does he give me to like? I mean, I'm not saying that I hate the guy, but like, you know, he's very immature. And we were talking about this even before we went on the air last time. The only difference between the Cam today and the Cam 3 years ago is that they're winning.
Yep.
They won 15 games. They only lost one, and that one loss didn't really mean anything. So you didn't get to see any of the real Cam Newton. I'm going to coin the term the real Cam Newton. You didn't get to see any of that during the season or in the postseason because they won all the games. And then come the Super Bowl time, he doesn't play well, the team loses, and then you see exactly what his true colors are, which is an immature guy who hates losing, but wants us to be okay with him acting in that way.
He's very Cam's a very interesting case of I think he's a head case. He's a little bit of a head case where if he loses, he's one of the most frustrating players to play with. And then, like, the biggest issue I had with Cam's actions during the game and after the game was Thomas Davis, the linebacker for the Panthers, played with a fractured forearm. If you saw that thing, it looks like a football.
Yeah, it was nasty.
You know, they sewed it up. It was not pretty. He's playing that game with a fractured forearm, and he's given it 110%. Granted, he wasn't as effective as he normally is. He's one of the better linebackers in the football. But, you know, he was still out there, and he was still playing very well. Cam wouldn't dive for a football, and Cam's response to that was,
Did he respond to it?
He did. He commented, but it was very quick, and it was very like I didn't think I had an opportunity to get it or something like that. Like it was kind of like, you know, in and out. Just get it away from me. I don't care. I don't want to answer that question.
What really irked me was after the whole situation went down, and then later on he commented and he said, you know, I know I'm a sore loser. He says, you show me a good loser and I'll show you a loser. Oh, I'm sorry, because, you know, Tom Brady never lost any Super Bowls and acted that same way.
Yeah.
And people were, oh, well, Peyton didn't shake Drew Brees' hand after he lost that Super Bowl. Yeah, but how was his press conference? Did he give a press conference to the media? Did he, you know, put a towel over his head and sulk about not being able to win and then just walk out? You know, no, he didn't do any of that. So, you know, I don't want to hear any of this. You know, it's okay for him to do this because
It
shows that he really cares about the sport, or this is an even better one, because he's a player that we've never seen before. We should give him a pass because he's completely different than everyone else. He's gonna respond to things differently than other players will. Well, I'm sorry, but that doesn't make you better than anyone.
No,
what he's basically saying is I'm better than you.
It doesn't give him any privilege. It does not give him a single privilege.
He's basically saying, like, I'm better than you, so I deserve to react this way as opposed to what everyone else does. I get to be different.
Yeah. He acts like we've never seen a quarterback with his skill set before. We have. We have seen a quarterback with his skill. Granted, we haven't seen him do it to the level that he's been able to do it. You know, Cam Newton is a very entertaining quarterback to watch play football. But at the same time, we've seen a quarterback do the exact. We've seen Randall Cunningham, We see Russell Wilson do this thing on every Sunday. We've seen this before, Cam. We've seen this before.
Russell Wilson, who had an even worse loss than Cam did in this past Super Bowl last year, you know, they showed his press conference after the game when he threw the interception at the end. He acted totally professional. There was nothing wrong with what he did.
A guy who threw the interception at the end of the game that cost him the game.
Yeah. And by the way, he is black people. Last time I checked, he was African-American.
Yep.
I just want to point that out.
It's nothing to do with race.
Nothing
it's
at
everything
all.
To do with character. And that's the biggest issue I have with Cam. All right. So going away from the Super Bowl, that makes now three out of the last four Super Bowls played, an AFC team has won.
By the way, Benny, do you remember that stat that I gave you at the end of the episode last time?
I don't believe so. What was it?
The last time an NFL MVP won the Super Bowl was Kurt Warner in 99?
Yep.
Did Cam not win the MVP?
Cam didn't. Yeah, Von Miller won the Cam won the NFL MVP.
That's what I'm talking about.
But he did not win
That's what I said, NFL MVP.
Yep.
Just saying.
99. It has now been
17 years.
17 years. And next year it's going to be an NRG Stadium in Houston, Texas. Following year, it's going to be Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Yeah,
we'll talk
stadium.
About that. We'll talk about that in a second.
I don't like that.
I don't like that either.
It's
going to
be like Detroit,
second.
Except in a better area.
Well, like if it's going to be in Minneapolis around this time of year,
it's indoors though.
It's dated for February 4th. That's more than likely that could change. Well, also, I want to talk to you about the date, the when they play this. Well, anyway, it's going to be indoors, but you think the camaraderie, like, it's going to be really cold.
The events surrounding the game aren't going to be as exciting as they normally would be.
Nope.
I mean, obviously, they had a lot that they could do out in San Francisco.
Yeah.
It, you know, the weather's nice out there and everything. And they ran into the same issue back in Super Bowl
New York,
40.
Yeah.
Well, not even that. Well, that one, too, I guess, to an extent. But that at least has New York around it. So, you know, there's at least a what would you, like a culture there?
Yeah.
Nothing against Minneapolis, but it seems to me a lot like back in the Super Bowl 40, you know, they were trying to do all the festivities there and everything, and it was just a bad, I know people who went there for that Super Bowl, and it was just a bad time.
That was Detroit, Michigan, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Super Bowl belongs in, like, southern states because it's warmer down there, and, you know,
However, you're the first person to champion a Super Bowl in Philly, just saying.
I do want a Super Bowl in Philly just because I look at New York and I'm like, if New York gets one, why the heck can't I
have
get
both
one?
Ways, Benny.
I know, but
just like Eagles can't win the Super Bowl, you can't have both ways.
I was talking to my uncle about it, and he goes, "Why would we want it?" And I go, "You make a good point." He goes, "Like we don't need it." He goes, "Philadelphia's fine.
It's the closest you'll ever get to one."
I know it's the closest. Oh, thank you, Sean. But I know it's like. It's like, you know, people are going to constantly make the, oh, well, the Eagles aren't in it. But, you know, I'm like, I personally, because I want to at least have the ability to experience the Super Bowl fiasco. But at the same time, I'm like, we don't really need it. I don't care. But, all right.
I work for the NFL and I could care less if I go to a Super Bowl.
I
don't think it's that exciting.
This is where the NFL and MLB split. At least with Major League Baseball, if you play at a different stadium, like the impact of the dimensions of the stadium comes into effect. There is nothing about NFL size if it has a roof on it or not have a roof on it. That's the only thing that matters.
Well, I mean, crowd noise too for home
crowd
teams.
Noise and maybe the turf, but I've yet to see a game besides maybe going back a ways where grass versus turf was a real issue. But
it was a little bit of an issue this year.
The one video of Michael Orr getting like slid back.
Mm-hmm. But it's no secret that the grass there wasn't that good.
No.
They were having problems with the turf during the season too.
Yeah,
they put new turf in too, and it didn't help either.
Well, they went through a lot of sod with that stadium, but with Levi Stadium they went through a lot of sod with it. Because the sun's there is really intense and it's right on the field. So you can water that grass all you want, but it's not getting shade.
I should have just put turf down.
To be honest with you, they should have just slapped a retractable roof on it, to be honest with you.
You don't need to in San Francisco.
You don't need to, but think about that turf, the field conditions.
Also,
you can get a decent retractable roof on that stadium. You can get a decent one.
Also, I could be completely wrong here, but other than the Dallas Cowboys stadium, I think putting a roof on stadiums actually limits how many seats you can have. I could be completely off, but
Arizona.
I thought I heard that before.
Arizona. Well, the Dallas Cowboys stadium, they have like over north of 100,000. Arizona, they can probably fit around 70 to 72.
Do you know the special thing about the Cowboys stadium? How they can add and subtract seats just by a push of a button?
I do not know.
Okay, so normally, you know, let's say, for example, something is there and it's the venue doesn't call for something as big, like a concert or something, they can literally push a button and the rows in the stands will subtract three seats from the row, but still maintain the same size of the stadium. But each, and you can do the same thing, you can also add three seats to it. It's like this little mechanism where the seats will actually come out from each other, and it'll either add or subtract seats as many as you need.
That's kind of cool.
It's really neat if you've seen it before.
I have not. It'll be interesting to see if that comes into effect during Mania. Interesting to see. We have a lot of fear for that. But anyway, all right. Transitioning out of the game. Let's do a new segment. It's called Benny's 3 for 3. The three best commercials and the three worst commercials, in my opinion. You said you don't remember that many of it.
Nope.
We talked about this a little bit.
I missed the Civil War one because it happened before the. We turned it on as soon as Lady Gaga was like halfway through. So I missed the first couple commercials.
Yeah, there's no. These are all ones that happened during the game. So legitimately during when they were playing football and they were cutting away. This is during the game. No trailers on it because those would destroy. Those don't count. Anyway. Yeah. Here are my work. I like to start with bad news first, and then we get to the good stuff, so at least you go home happy. Bad news first. Here's the worst three ones I saw in order. So number three for me was the Quicken Loans one.
What was that? I have no.
You could download an app now that gets you approved for mortgages.
But what was the commercial?
It was. There's nothing about the.
Do you remember the commercial?
I do remember the commercial because they still run it now. The basis of the commercial is, there's a family. Girl taps the app, gets an approved, and she goes, "Oh, I can buy a home now." And then the narrator starts talking and says, "Oh, if you start buying homes, if you make home buying easier, you can make the world better." And it's starting to go all like through this like web of how this makes the world better. And the entire time I'm thinking, the reason the economy is where it's at is because mortgages were easy to give away. We had the housing bubble. We had people that couldn't afford to pay for their house. I know I'm getting very economical and political here, but I just thought that commercial was stupid just for the pure subject matter and the fact that it was a rather bland commercial in and of itself. That's just me.
Were you still talking? I fell asleep while you were relaying that commercial. Let's keep going.
Let's move on. The second worst one. Now, this is like number three, 50 feet of crap. Now we're at number two. Puppy Monkey Baby.
I kind of liked Puppy Monkey Baby.
You did?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not for a great flavor of Kickstart, but no. Those Kickstart commercials are always weird. They try to be weird like the Old Spice commercials. And I thought it was just weird enough that I was okay with it.
I thought it was really, really weird. And to be honest with you, the look of that puppy monkey baby thing was actually kind of scary. Like, I actually thought that thing was really, really weird.
Yeah, but it was fine. I had no problems with it whatsoever.
Again, Mountain Dew has a deal with WWE, and I thought that was like kind of throwing a swerve just for the sake of throwing a swerve. It was very bizarre. But nothing compared to what number one is. Number one wasn't as much bizarre as it was bland, boring, and the worst one is stupid. Yeah, the BBS, and that's not good. Bud Light with the Seth and Amy. That one...
Yeah, that wasn't funny at all.
It wasn't that it wasn't even funny. It was just not like... Oh, okay, so you have Amy Schumer coming out. We know Jason Green has his issues with Amy Schumer. Seth Rogen is starting to go down the road of like he's just starting to become annoying.
Yeah, but you have them. You have Paul Rudd in the commercial. Like, you'd expect something to be funny in it, and nothing was funny.
Nothing was funny about that at all.
What was the funny part, that they were pretending to run for office? I don't think so.
I didn't even get that. I did not get the vibe of them running for office.
Well, that's kind of what the point was. They were doing like a political campaign.
I didn't get that. I didn't get that at all. I thought it was boring, and it made me want to throw the Bud Light at the TV versus put one in my stomach.
You weren't drinking Bud Light. Let's be honest, Benny.
I was not drinking Bud Light.
Only one. Let's be honest.
Yeah, I was actually drinking a Yingling.
How many?
I had one. I was driving home.
I don't think it would have mattered.
It would not have mattered. all right, so those are my worst three. Again, we have Quicken Loans, Puppy Monkey Baby, and Bud Light. Now, my best three. Number three was the Cure Auto Insurance commercial, The Hot Nurse.
I don't remember that one.
Remember that one? Okay, so it's a father and a son. The father is like, I think it's a grandfather. Grandfather's on his deathbed, and he goes, "Son, lean over. I need to tell you something." The son's leaning over, and he looks up, and he sees the hot nurse, and he goes, "Hey," and then you hear the flat line. It's messed up, but I thought it was kind of funny. The message they were getting across was just distracted driving. I thought it was kind of funny.
Was that the point?
That was the point.
Okay.
it was dark to do, but I thought it was kind of funny. Now, number two was Avocados from Mexico. Not a lot of people liked this one. It was funny to me.
What was it? I don't remember.
Okay, so it's an alien. You know, it's basically an alien tour of Earth on the space.
Oh yeah. Okay.
And they're going through that is the cube of Rubik's. You know, this is the dress that started the Civil War. The dress that started the Civil War thing almost had me falling out of my chair. There was a random celebrity like David. What was his name? Oh God, I'll have it later. It'll probably come to me like in a later podcast. But there was a random celebrity there, and there was Avocados. Now, it was funny. It kind of, you know, it hid the product, but I thought it was interesting. And number one, you know, I think we are in agreement. The Doritos ones are starting to really, you know, click. They had the time machine one going back. And now they have the birth one where they take a Dorito and they hold it over. I thought it was kind of funny.
Yeah, it was funny. I enjoyed that one.
But again, I think what we're starting to see is these commercials just aren't, they're not taking risks anymore. And it's, you know, when you take a risk, you run the risk.
I'm tired of the, I almost cursed. I'm tired of the Clydesdales. I don't care about those things.
I mean, they haven't done anything fresh with them. It's just they show the Clydesdales. That's it.
Well, they tried to add the dog that one year, and I just don't. I don't care.
It was a cute story, but like they don't do anything fresh with them.
They did one of those countdowns, like the top Super Bowl commercials ever, and the number one was a Clydesdale one. I'm like,
no,
why?
The Clydesdale ones is not the Clydesdale ones.
It's a damn horse.
Yeah, it's just a horse. Like, again, if they did something fresh with the horse.
Now, if the horse would, open up a Bud Light and, start, doing like a Stone Cold beer batch with it, that to me would be a fun commercial.
That would be, again, but like they haven't done anything fresh with the Clydesdales. So we're just kind of used to seeing them just going, oh, there's a horse. Like, I see horses every day because half of Delaware is a farm. So, if I have to drive down to Dover. There's a horse. Like, I just see horses. Horses don't shock me. I have a friend that rides horses.
It's a whore.
it's a horse. No one cares.
Look at the horse.
Look at the horse. But, we're running into this issue where I'm afraid next year I'm not going to get three for the Benny 3 for 3. But, anyway, I wanted to ask you this, Sean, before we go.
I didn't do it.
Not that. Oh. I was listening to a local radio station. I was listening to a local radio station, and one of the hosts made a good point. Should the NFL move the Super Bowl back another week to the President's Day? Well, hold on, the President's Day weekend.
No.
You get that 3-day weekend.
Not everyone does, though.
Not everyone does, but I was thinking, that it makes sense for the fans. It doesn't make much sense for the NFL.
Listen,
but it makes sense
the game's already at 6:30, so it's not like it's a late, late game. The game was over by 10:30.
Yeah.
The party that I was at, it was an hour drive home, and I was able to get up at 6:30 the next morning. I was fine. So if you have a problem with – if you are at the Super Bowl party and you have to party the entire night, you have issues. There's no reason why they need to move it for any reason whatsoever.
Yeah, and I'm inclined to agree with you. I saw what the guy was saying, his point. The thought that came into me was maybe you could, you could make a little bit more money on travel packages that the NFL can sell sometimes.
Well, if you're traveling to the Super Bowl, you're already taking off anyway.
Yeah, there's no way unless you live in that in like nearby like a state over. There's no way you're getting
but even
home.
That. You could drive home with it.
Yeah.
An hour maybe.
Yeah, but like I was I can imagine the parking lots are
and like the people who can't, are staying there. They'll probably stay an extra day regardless of what their work schedule's like.
Yeah, but the thought that came to me was that. But then I was thinking, the last thing I want is another week of the NFL squeezing out more hype to the Super Bowl. Even though I know the owners would love that. It's just the Super Bowl is as big as it is ever going to get.
Yeah, but at a certain point, you're just like, come on, let's just get this game over with. It 2 weeks is long enough.
Yeah. Last question. I'll make not a big announcement, but I will preview what's coming up.
Are you getting the operation?
I'm getting the operation. Yes. How would you fix the? Would you still do the Pro Bowl before the Super Bowl or Super?
Yeah,
Super
I would Bowl? Still do it before.
You still would do that?
Yeah.
Would you play it where the Super Bowl is being played? Or would
I
you
would.
Just play
yeah,
it?
I would. Okay. I mean, I know how much the players love going to Hawaii because it's a free vacation, but I mean,
the only
that
thing
stadium,
I can think of,
they don't fill it at all.
They don't fill it up half. They don't
not
even
half.
Fill it.
Less
not
than
even
that.
Half. The only thing I can think of to make the players want to do that is if you gave like them a stipend of like you get X amount of dollars, but like they're not going to make that much money off that game. So
pay them more.
That's the only thing I can think of, and I don't think the NFL wants to give pony up anymore to the players. But anyway, all right, that does it for the Super Bowl review podcast. Now we have the Fast Lane preview podcast coming up later this week. Just going over some quick things with Fast Lane.
TBA.
Yeah, we do know the rest of the card is to be announced, but we do know that there are at least, I believe, five matches set. four or five matches set. But anyway,
yes, and we will talk about that more on the other show.
We'll talk about that later in the show. Also, pitchers and catchers report this week. Sean, we may not have to talk about football for a while. How are you thinking? How are you feeling about that?
You got to talk NBA.
We are going to talk NBA. No, I'm just kidding.
No, we're not.
Major League Baseball.
Click. I'm off.
We could finally talk Major League Baseball, Sean.
Not really, because we still got another month and a half.
We still have another month and a half, but at least this time.
We can do a preview show, but that's about it.
That's about it. But at least this time we won't have to, like, NFL won't dominate this podcast for once. And we can finally call it the blah, blah, sports versus just blah, blah.
The NFL is our Star Wars. It's just every week.
Every week, yes. Every week there's something else about it. And of course, when the draft comes around, we will be hearing more.
Oh, God, the combine's in 2 weeks.
The combine is in 2 weeks. The draft's in three. No.
No, it can't be.
No, it's in April. Never mind. But the combine is in 2 weeks, and then you have your private workouts, and you have your pro days, which is pointless. But I'm interested in seeing who the Eagles take. But anyway, for myself, Benny, you can follow me at the BNP Express.
Okay, Benny, this is the clean show. You don't have to.
I know. And for my partner, Sean, you can follow Sean at @the_BrackShow. You're not looking for that intern anymore, so we can't use
no,
that.
No, I'm not. Now I think I'm going to be looking for someone who can talk without being biased about the Eagles.
I'm not that biased about the Eagles. I'm not.
For a good Eagles season.
Oh, my job might be up on the block. Anyway, thank you for listening to this podcast. Once again, we'll have Fast Lane coming up in just a little bit. And, of course, pitchers and catchers reporting later this week. For myself and Sean, sports.